The message today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2. And I'm going to read this portion of Scripture and listen, and then I will be talking about it. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one was hearing their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We heard them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they had too much wine. Now, Peter then stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people aren't drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David then said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with your joy and your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. They said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. The context here is that the apostles are waiting, as Jesus had told them to wait, for this promise, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the scripture says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them. And the scripture says, at that time in Jerusalem, there were many God-fearing Jews from every nation. And when they heard this, a crowd gathered, wondering how they heard the apostles declaring the wonders of God in their own language. Peter responds to their question, and he says, let me explain this to you. The role of pastor, preacher, is a role in which it's my responsibility to try to explain God's word and help us understand what God says. Peter here is the preacher who's going to explain to all of these people from all of these different nations what is going on and what is happening. So this is how Peter proceeds. And I think it's important for us to see the progression of his explanation, because it's important for us to understand the importance of both the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, the understanding of the reality that the Old Testament does speak to us about what God is doing in our world. So Peter begins by quoting the prophet Joel. If you were to go to Joel chapter 2 and read verses 28 and 29, you'd read these thoughts and ideas. Joel is saying this, God will pour out his spirit. God will pour out his spirit. There are going to be dreams, there's going to be prophecy, there are going to be wonders in the heaven and the earth. So Joel is saying there's this time coming when God is going to pour out his spirit. Peter's saying, okay, folks, this is what's going on. The Spirit will be poured out on all people who are believers. And it's important, I think, for us to understand that all people, God pours out his Spirit on all people, men and women, sons and daughters. So all people who are believers, God pours out his Spirit in ways in which miracles come. And God's work is done. Everyone who then calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, this is Joel, okay? This is an Old Testament prophet from the book of Joel who's saying this. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So, that's where Peter begins. Then Peter comes to Jesus. He says, Jesus of Nazareth, accredited to you by God. I thought it was interesting, that word accredited. I think of accreditation, and I think of schools that are wanting to be accredited. You know, they want to be given this piece of paper that states that what they are going to be doing in education is good, it's important, it's what should be done, and when this school gets its accreditation, I can go there, I can get my diploma, and know that it's good and worthwhile. So, Peter's saying, Jesus of Nazareth was accredited to you by God. God is the one who's giving the accreditation. And we see that accreditation in Jesus by the miracles, by the wonders and signs. Then Peter says, Jesus of Nazareth was handed over to you by God's plan. Again, did this just happen willy-nilly? No, not at all. This is God's plan, that Jesus was going to be handed over. God's authority, God's sovereignty is seen in this statement by Peter. And then Peter says, and then you put him to death on the cross. So we see Jesus, God's work in Jesus, And then we see us, the people. Of course, Peter's talking to that crowd, which are Jews and people from every nation. He's saying, you sinned by putting him on the cross. And then there's this but. One of the things for Margaret and me in our conversations together and as we talk about a variety of things, one of the words that we try not to use is this word but, because it often brings up something negative and bad. You know, you did good, but you should have done better. You know, we try to use the word and. You did great, and this might be something else that you would have wanted to think about in what you were doing. But here, Peter uses this word, but. And it's important for us to understand because Peter's talking about what the people have just done in killing Jesus. And he wants them to understand that God's in control. And so he says, you killed him, but God raised him from the dead. And here we see Peter establishing God's power in the context of what these Jews, all of these people are saying, we killed him, so now what? And Peter wants them to know that he's not dead. David said, he's not dead. David said, he was raised. Now David, Peter says, is dead. He's in the grave. Peter's saying, Jesus is not dead. God raised him, and we are witnesses of that. And we want you to know that. And then Peter jumps back to David and David's testimony and his statements that God is with me. God is with me. God isn't going to abandon me. And we talked about this abandonment and the reality that God doesn't abandon us ever, but he's always there with us through his Spirit. And then Peter contrasts David's dying and still remaining in the tomb with Jesus' resurrection from the dead. So there's that contrast that Peter wants the people to understand and see. Jesus has been taken back to heaven to be with the Father. Peter uses the fulfillment of the prophet's teachings as an explanation of the manifestation of the filling of the Spirit and these people hearing this message from Peter in their own tongue. So, the importance of the Old Testament is something we need to understand and realize and make a part of the strong foundation of our faith. And Peter shows us how that works and uses that. This explanation by Peter then leads to the reason for Jesus coming and the crucifixion and resurrection. And Peter says this, be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. See, Peter wants them to understand that this sin of murder that they have done against Jesus is something that God's not holding against them, but that Jesus is alive and is going to fulfill the purpose for which God sent him. And Jesus is using this filling of the Spirit in these apostles' lives to complete and fulfill his mission as well. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and with shame and remorse, they asked Peter and the apostles, what shall we do? And we know this statement that Peter made. Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So this is what was the purpose for the filling of the Holy Spirit that was manifest in all of these different tongues that the people would know. And it's so interesting and important that there were these people gathered there from all of these different nations. Okay? So this was not the local Abilene Brethren in Christ Church where you came and there were all of these tongues. We don't need all those, do we? We only need our English language. But in this case that we're talking about, in Jerusalem, there were all of these people from all over the world that were now hearing this message because of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the speaking of tongues that they understood. So, what do we need to learn from this scriptural message to us? A number of things. Number one, we're reminded we are all sinners and God has provided salvation through Jesus Christ. We need to understand our sin. And we need to feel shame and remorse. Just as those people, after they heard Peter's message, says they were cut to the heart. We need to feel that also in relationship to our sin. Our sin may not be nailing Jesus to the cross where we actually see and have done that, but our sin is actually that. It's a sin that sent Jesus to the cross. It's a sin against God. It's a sin against Christ Jesus. And we need to feel that remorse. We need to feel that pain that they felt, and we need to ask. And then he says, and what God had done through Jesus Christ is for all nations and all peoples. You see, there's not only this personal sense in which it's for me, but we also need to understand this is for all nations. It's for all people. And we need to understand that not all people are going to respond. When we read that passage, it didn't say that everybody responded and received the message, but it said those who accepted the message were added to their number that day. So one of the things we need to say is that, you know, we try to share the message of the gospel with our families. We try to share the message of the gospel with those around us, with our neighbors. Not everyone is going to receive that message. So don't feel guilty. Don't feel like, you know, what have I done wrong? But just keep sharing, keep sharing, keep sharing the message, keep sharing God's truth. And we need to know that not all are going to accept. A second thing then, God has given the Holy Spirit for the fulfillment and completion of his plan and purpose. So as we think about the Holy Spirit, there's the personal sense in which the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and does a variety of things in terms of being in us and with us. But there's also this sense in which God is completing and fulfilling his purpose as the Holy Spirit is given and comes. It's to the crowds. It's also to us as individuals. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit are whatever God deems necessary to fulfill his plan in us individually, in the church, and in the world. And I want to read that again. I think it's very important. The manifestations of the Holy Spirit are given for whatever God deems necessary to fulfill his plan in me personally, in the church, the corporate church, and in the world. So at that point, God gave the Spirit. And all of the people heard the apostles speaking in their own language. So God gave a specific manifestation of the Spirit. As I have read many accounts of the martyrs and of missionaries, it's amazing at times to see how God has manifested his Spirit in different situations. Even to the point that there have been times missionaries have seen people to whom they want to speak the message of God, who they don't know their language, and yet the people hear in their language. So there have actually been manifestations of the Spirit in language change in modern days, not just here. One of the things I think we all need to expect is that we may see God manifesting his Spirit in ways that are surprising to us as the days go forward. But God is doing that to fulfill his plan. A third thing then, we need to understand the lostness of our world and we need to warn and plead with people to save themselves from this corrupt generation. God isn't concerned about the kingdoms of this world. I speak of this often. We need to hear it often. God is not concerned about the kingdoms of this world. He's concerned about his kingdom. He's concerned about people knowing what it takes to get into his kingdom, to get to heaven, to be assured of that salvation, to know that when we come to him, we are in his kingdom and we're safe in his kingdom. And that his kingdom is going to come. God is saying that we need to proclaim this message so that people are saved from this corrupt generation. All of the governments of this world are corrupt. We look at it and we see it. For us, we say, or we don't say, you know, the Republicans are not corrupt, the Democrats are corrupt. The Democrats say we're not corrupt, the Republicans are corrupt. We know that there's corruption in our government, don't we? Doesn't matter which side you're on, doesn't matter where you are. We know that that is true in our world. Peter, as he's making this explanation, he's saying that what God wants to see is he wants people not to be attached to the kingdoms of this world and worry about that, but become attached to God's kingdom and the message of God that brings salvation. Well, what then does it look like for us to be living and working for the kingdom of God? First of all, we need to tell it. We need to say it. We need to explain it. Like Peter, you and I need to explain to the world around us what this book's all about. They aren't going to know unless somebody explains it to them. We need to let people know that all are sinners and need God's salvation, and that salvation is for everyone. It's not just for a few. It's for everyone who will believe. The second thing we need to do is we need to be teaching and living Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We need to make Jesus' teaching and character our own. So first of all, we need to tell it. We need to explain it. Secondly, we need to live it. We need to live Jesus' life, his truth. And then and a third thing we need to do, we need to reject all the calls to get involved with causes that are seeking to secure our earthly rights, our personal rights, understanding that those causes are of this world. And the only thing that really matters is the security that we find in Jesus Christ and his salvation. When we are persecuted or we are presented with calls to do something or make decisions, we need to ask ourselves this question. Does this cause or situation advance the kingdom of God or God's message of salvation? Again, I want to read that. We need to ask ourselves this question all the time when we're presented with possibilities of acting and doing. Does this cause or this situation advance the kingdom of God and God's message of salvation? We are involved financially in a lot of places. We give here to our church. We believe that this is where our tithe should come, and so we give our tithe here. But we're also involved in many other places. Last night, Noah came to our house, and I don't know if he's checked with you yet, but he's a football player, and they're raising money for the football team. And you probably, at some point in time, have had someone say something to you, we're selling these things that, you know, they're these cards that are worth a pizza at Casey's or whatever for $20. So Margaret and I, we bought one. Of course, we're going to buy one from Noah. Now, I ask myself the question, okay, does that gift to Noah and Abilene City Schools, does that further the kingdom of God? Well, in one sense, I'd say, oh, no, that's only of this world. The football team and competition and the schools are only of this world. On the other hand, you know, reaching out to Noah and his family by doing that, yeah, you know, maybe Noah's going to be willing to listen further to the explanation that I make about my love for God. Well, I want to encourage us all, as we think about our lives, where we invest our time, where we give our time, where we give our money, the things that we do, think about those in relationship to God's kingdom and the kingdom of this world. And I'm going to leave it with you at that. Think about those things. Think about that in relationship to what Peter has just said to us, in relationship to the understanding and reality. And I want you to get this, guys. God pours out his Spirit on all of us. You look at me and Margaret as pastors and you think, well, God's pouring out the Spirit on them to do the job of pastoring. Well, yes, but it's not just us. It's all of us. It's all of you. Everyone, God pours out his Spirit. Why? For the sake of the message of the gospel, that others would come to know the joy of salvation and come to know the security of knowing that if I die from COVID, which everybody dies from COVID these days, you know, every death certificate, it's COVID. My mother-in-law, Margaret's mom, said, you know, whatever they do, don't allow them to say I died because of COVID. And we always had a chuckle. But we're all going to die. Everyone knows that's coming. All of us need to know the joy and security of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're going to close today with number 417, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Stand with me as we close.